I'm thankful for my heritage. I'm thankful for the foundation that was laid in my life as a child. I shared with Brother Don Wednesday night, and you know, I couldn't get into youth group on Wednesdays. We did things a little bit different. My youth group was Wednesday afternoon during the summer. I couldn't get in the door of youth group until I quoted Bible scripture. I had to actually learn it and memorize it and quote that Bible scripture to even go in the door to have fun at youth group. And then we were taught music, and y'all, I'm telling on myself, but I grew up singing in a quartet. I was made to start singing in a quartet when I was 10. And I hit puberty early, and my voice dropped when I was about 12, so they loved me singing bass. And it was me and my cousin and two other girls, and we were the Kings something another. I don't remember now. But anyway, we sang. They made me start singing in a quartet. That's where I get my love of music from. But it also laid a foundation, and that's what I want to talk about tonight. So before I get started, I didn't give nobody upstairs any scripture tonight at all, so y'all just ignore that because they're not going to be able to keep up. I'm trying to be slow because Martha says I start auctioning off when I get up here and get nervous. I am just scared to death, I'll be honest. Give me my black podium over there and 25, 30 teenagers, and I'm good. But, you know, Anyway, I want to talk about tonight something that I said is dear to my heart, maintaining the line and building a strong foundation. So with that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I love you. Most of all, I thank you for dying on the cross for my sins, God. And I thank you for everything that you mean to me. And I pray that you just touch us tonight and help us as we share this word, God. Let it go on good ground, God, and help us tonight to receive everything that you want to receive. God, hide me behind the cross. Don't let them see me, but let everything that I say be uplifting to you and to your name, in Jesus' name. Amen. One of my key scriptures is Psalms 11 and 3 tonight. If the foundation be destroyed, then what can the righteous do? We were talking Wednesday night, me and Brother Don in Dallas. After we all get done with our lessons, we kind of huddle up in a group a little bit and talk about maybe some things we need to work on for youth group or boys clubs or just stuff about church. And we just happened to get on that night, last Wednesday, about stuff and about laying a foundation and about building a strong foundation. And we were talking about things like revivals. Growing up in church, I was telling him, you know, we had a 21-day revival one time, and we didn't get out of revival. We didn't have a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then we were done revival. We had a 21-day straight revival Sunday to Sunday. And you did not expect to get out of church before 10 o'clock. And then me and Jody were talking this morning. Sunday night services started at 6:37, and you were not done. If you got out by 9, you got out early. And I'm just wondering what's happened. What we've done is we have not maintained the line. When you build something, we started in a granny pod for Mama and Papa. To start that granny pod, we actually had to put some corner stanchions out and put up some string lines. Brother Harden can attest to this. Most builders will lay it out with a string line because you take that string line to get everything plumb and to get your foundation where it needs to go. Now, if I take, in fact, I got my string in my pocket, but if I would stretch my string from this post to this post, it would be pretty straight, right? But if I move it a 16th of an inch off of this post, by the time it gets to that post, it's going to be out an inch, maybe more. And what's happened in the church is we move the line instead of maintaining the line. We move the line. We just moved it a little bit. Well, when we moved it a little bit, and how did we move it, you say? Well, church is not a priority anymore. We don't make it a priority anymore. So we moved that just a little bit. well, this generation didn't make it a, mom and dad didn't make it a priority. Okay. I'm talking about me, my age group. We didn't make church a priority. So then I have kids. Because I didn't make it a priority, it's less of a priority for them. And then they have children. And when it's less of a priority for that group, it's not a priority at all for them. They have moved the line completely. So now we don't have anything. We don't have a sure foundation. We don't have a square foundation. We have a mess. And when the foundations become destroyed, then churches become destroyed. Experiences with Christ become destroyed. They don't know how to have a relationship with Christ. It's kind of like the foolish man building this house on the sand. When the storms come, they didn't know where to build on because we moved the line. And then we moved the line to where things don't bother us anymore. You shared a video. I was going to share part of it. And you beat me to it on Facebook. Here in the United States, we've changed. We've changed our language. I'm going to reference part of it. We've changed our language. We don't call it pedophilia anymore. We call it minor attraction. That's what they call it. They don't call it adultery anymore. They call it open marriage. We've moved the line. They don't call it fornication anymore. They call it love. They don't call it lust anymore. They call it intimacy. We've moved the line. And what happens is, when a pastor stands up here and preaches against it, then they call him a hater and a phobe and a homophobe. And he's preaching hate speech. When all you're trying to do is change the verbiage to less conviction of your sin. Because we don't have a strong foundation. The word foundation in the Hebrew means yakod. It means to settle, establish, or yakod, Y-E-C-O-W-D. It means to settle or establish. That same word in the Greek is timoleos. It's a substruction or something put down. You got to realize something. Without a strong foundation, the church can't stand. He said, you're Peter, and upon this rock, he was referencing him to himself, I'm going to build my church. And he wasn't talking about a building. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We've got to have a strong foundation. Today, society has moved the line so far to one side that the very foundation that life was established on is warped and crooked. They don't even know reality anymore. They don't even know reality. The Bible contains several verses about a foundation. Isaiah 28:16 talks about a sure foundation laid by God in Zion, while Ezra 3:11 mentions the foundation of the house of the Lord being laid. 1 Peter 2:4-6 and 1 Corinthians 3:11 both mention Jesus Christ as the foundation. Matthew 7:24-27 talks about building a house on a rock, which represents hearing and doing the words of Jesus. So how do we go back to strengthening our foundation? We've got to go back to our roots. And I thought about this a long time. There's trees that grow in the wild, and I lost the name of the tree right off the top of the tip of my tongue. But for the longest time, that tree never gains an inch. You never see it grow an inch. However, what it's doing in that time that it's not growing an inch, it's actually growing, but it's growing down, and it's growing roots, and it's growing down deep, and it's getting a hold, and it's getting rooted and grounded. Then you start seeing the tree grow upward. That is what's got to happen today. We were talking Wednesday night, and I hate even mentioning this, but you know, we've helped in youth ministry over here for 9 years in some form or fashion, driving a bus to Winterfest. Spent 8 anniversaries. Instead of spending an anniversary with my wife, I spent it at Winterfest with a bunch of teenagers. And it was all good, don't get me wrong. But I totaled it up in my head, and I even hate to say this. It was over 375 teenagers that have came through the doors of that gym. 375. Y'all don't like statistics. I'm the statistic guy. I'm going to give you one. How many are still here? 5. Hannah, CJ, McKenzie, Kayla, and Troy Chrisley. Five. Out of 375 potential kids that we've touched. Now, some have gotten married, moved on, and they're still living for Christ. They're just at other churches and everything, and they're doing great work. But some move the line so far the other way that their life is a total wreck. They don't even have a foundation at all. We have got to get back to our roots. Number one, we have got to make church a priority again. We have got to make serving God and coming to God's house a priority again. I had a conversation a couple weeks ago with a guy, and I said, he said, his words to me was, Pastor, you don't have to have you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. And I said, you're absolutely right. You sure don't. You can be a Christian and live for God and never dart the door of a church again. I said, you're right. I won't discredit that. And I said, and I looked at him square in the face, and I said, and you don't have to have a parachute to jump out of an airplane. You don't, but it sure does help. And that's the thing, it sure does help. But we've gotten to the point that we don't have church a priority. The more you miss church, the less you miss church. Be careful. It's time to return. Some people are worried about life being upside down, and they're worried about everything going on, and they're going haywire. Sometimes to get back on your feet in life, you need to get back in your seat at the church. 20% of Americans, this is from Pew. Y'all know I like to look up stuff. Pew. 20% of Americans attend church every week. 41% of Americans are monthly church attender. And 50% of Americans are seldom or never in a religious service attendance at all. It's not a priority anymore. We've got to get back to our roots. We've got to make serving God and church a priority in our life. D.L. Moody once said, the difference between listening to a radio sermon, and I'm going to go as far as saying the difference because he didn't have social media. So the difference between listening to a radio sermon and a Facebook sermon and online sermon, and I know sometimes folks can't get out. I understand that. I'm not knocking anybody that's watching online that can't get out, okay? Understand that. But there's a lot of able-bodied people that can get out that are just too lazy and they'd rather push a button. And I know they're not watching. It's on for distraction. You want me to tell you how I know? Because when we were during COVID, a lot of times Chris would turn it on. I'd watch LSLM Ministries that teach Sunday school. Scott Leonard Ministries would teach Sunday school. But I would hear it, but I wasn't watching it. I'm just being honest. I was over here doing something else, you know, because me and my ADD would kick in. Man, I'd see something that needs to be done, and I'd go over here doing it. Now, it's on. You know, it showed up on the statistics on the screen that I was watching, but really and truly, I wasn't really that focused. So D.L. Moody said the difference between listening to a radio sermon and going to church is almost like the difference between calling your girl on the phone and spending an evening with her. Now, I know when Mama first let me and Martha start dating, I was allowed to go to her house on Tuesday and Thursday and Friday. And then we finagled it and twisted it a little bit and got it worked out where she could go to church with me on Sunday so we could spend all day on Sunday together. But it was Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday. Well, Monday night and Thursday night, I told the kids in Sunday school this morning. I said, I got to call her. And I didn't have cell phone, you know. We were upgraded a little bit. I did have the cordless with the buttons that you punched, and, you know, and then I could sneak off in the bedroom and talk on the cordless. I wasn't tied to the wall. That was in the den. But, you know, having that phone conversation with her was nice. I mean, except for the fact that we got yelled at for being on the phone for 2 hours at the time. But having that phone conversation with her was nice. But there was nothing sweeter than actually seeing her and talking with her face to face on Tuesday nights and Friday and Saturday. Folks, you can have online church and you can listen to church, but there's nothing more better for you spiritually, physically, emotionally. You want to have some anxiety lift off of you, make sure you show up at church. Make God a priority in our lives again. We've got to make church a priority in our lives. See, church is not an option. It's a priority. God don't want a church that moves with the world. Too many times we shift and we want to move with the world. He wants a church that moves the world. And once we start realizing that we're here to move the world, not move with the world. Here's the other one. Somebody said, I once heard a quote that pertains to this topic. Just because you're at church doesn't make you a Christian any more than being a garage makes you a car. Many people think that because they go to church regularly, that it makes them a Christian. It does not. So you cannot church yourself into salvation. However, church is similar to a garage than Christians use to. Church is similar to a garage than Christians could use the regular maintenance a good church provides. So what's some regular maintenance a good church provides? Good sound teaching, community. Folks, there is nothing better than community. When you're down and you're feeling low and you're having a bad day and everything seems like your world's upside down, then you have community. You can come together as a community of body of believers and uplift each other. It's like men's group. We get together on Saturdays. Sometimes we, man, there's some Saturdays that some of the guys that come in there on Saturday night at five to eat lunch at, or supper at 5 o'clock, they got a lot on them. They're carrying a lot. And it's nice when the guys can get together and pray and uplift each other on a Saturday afternoon. It's the same thing with church service, guys. We've got to make church a priority. Good sound teaching, regular opportunity to partake in communion, a chance to pray and worship God in a group setting. There's nothing no more important, in my opinion, than making church and God your priorities again. Number two, prayer and the Word. I'll admit it, sometimes I get lazy. We all do. Sometimes I get busy and preoccupied. We all do. You know, I might go 24 hours. Can you believe that? I've gone 24 hours and never read a Bible scripture before. And I'm not proud of it. But what I'm telling you is we've got to start making things a priority again. You know, we've got to make prayer a priority again. I remember growing up, and I know I hate referencing this, but I remember growing up in church, 5:30 Sunday afternoon. You could hear when you pulled in the parking lot, people in the prayer room. Now if Pastor Green calls for a prayer meeting at 5:30, you might have, and I'm being honest, you might have four people show up to come pray on Sunday afternoon. We don't make it a priority anymore. We've got to get things back in perspective and move the line back to where it belongs. We've moved it so far out of the way. 55% of Christians pray at least daily, according to Varna. 21% pray weekly, 5% monthly, and 9% seldom pray. But prayer is one of the essential building blocks of our faith. Prayer. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Therefore, I tell you in Mark 11:24, it says, therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it'll be yours. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray as we ought to, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings in deep words. Folks, he can't intercede for us if we don't pray. He ain't going to do it if we're not there to pray. We've got to pray. We've got to put forth some effort and pray. You want to see a church turn around? Pray. You want to see a church grow? Open the prayer rooms back up. Let's start having prayer service on before service again. You know, make it a priority. We've got to pray, and we've got to read the Word. It's like this, and I told the kids this morning, I love my wife. Sometimes I get on her nerves. I think I get on her nerves at least once a day, maybe twice, at least one time. I do know that. However, in our relationship, if I get up every morning and I never speak to her, some mornings she'd be okay with it, but if I get up every morning and I never speak to her, and then I go throughout my day and I never text her, I never call her, I never have anything to do with my wife that day. Then I come home that evening from work, and I eat supper, and I never say another word, and I go to bed. And then I get up, and we repeat that same process the next day. And then the next day. And then the next day. And we keep repeating that same process over and over and over. How long is my relationship with my wife going to last? Not very. But how come we do God the same way? We don't take time to even say, good morning, I love you. Thank you for waking me up this morning. We're too busy. We're too preoccupied. We've got too much other stuff on our mind. And that's the problem. We don't pray. Prayer is one of the foundational building blocks of the church. Prayer. The word. This word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. And I told them Wednesday night, we were talking about things in Pilgrim's Progress. We were talking about things. And Pilgrim, his name is Christian, he hands his book, which is his Bible, to the character called Pliable. And because Pliable was like, tell me more about this. Tell me, how can I find out about everything that's going on in your book? And he hands him his book and he says, here, read for yourself. I told them Wednesday night in youth group, I said, you shouldn't believe every word that I tell you. And they looked at me real funny. I said, you shouldn't believe every word that Pastor Green tells you. And they looked at me even funnier. And I said, I don't mean that in a bad way. I said, because I'm not going to lie to you. I said, but you need to find this out for yourself. Because Chuck can't go to heaven on Sister West's salvation. It ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. They got to have their own experience and they got to know it for themselves. The only way they're going to know it for themselves is if they read the word. One of the things that I grew up, and I told them, one of the things I grew up doing, I'd get up 2 o'clock in the morning because sometimes my bladder wouldn't let me sleep all night when I was young. And I'd get up and my mama would be sitting at the kitchen table at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, mama, what are you doing up? And I look and she's got this laid out on the kitchen table. And I'll be honest with you. There was tear stains on the pages of her Bible. I've never forgot that. My mama was up praying. My daddy was lost. My daddy wasn't a Christian. My mama was up praying that her husband would get saved. And praying that my daddy would come to Christ. My daddy smoked 2 packs of cigarettes a day and cussed like a sailor and beat the tar out of all of us if we didn't mind him. I'm just being honest. During that 21-day revival that I was telling you guys about, that everybody went so faithfully every night, 7 days a week, we was at church the third week of the revival. We thought, why in the world are we going on with this revival? You know, it's 3 weeks. I'm tired. During the third week of the revival, my daddy got saved, and my daddy gave his heart to God. And my daddy was a changed man from that day. He didn't cuss no more, quit smoking. He was a changed man. God done a work in his heart. That's why church is a priority. That's why we need to have revivals. That's why we need to be focused on the word. That's why we need to be praying. Because that might be the opportunity that somebody comes in the door that day. That day. And I know we get tired. And we get discouraged. And we get beat down. I do. I get tired. I'm being honest. There's some Wednesdays I come to youth group and I'm like, oh my word, I've had a hard day at work. I'm tired. I just don't want to be here. I'm being honest. I just don't want to be here tonight. I'm tired. Brother Don, I know these kids are going to be rough tonight. And then that'll be the night that one of them comes up to you and says, I love you. And that was for me. And you just want to beat yourself up for being lazy, you know. Human, and you just want to beat yourself up. You say, you dummy, you know, why are you got to push harder? You got to push harder because we don't know that that's not going to be the last time. One of my kids has got shipped off to be with some parents up north. I'm not going to see them for a year. And she texted me the other day and she said, I love you and you're the best. And I just melted. You know, we've got to be able to put them on a strong foundation. Every week we've got to lay a foundation. Every day we've got to lay a foundation because we never know who's going to come and build. We never know who's going to come and build. One of the other ways of getting back to our roots is, and this is a real touchy subject, but it's important for some people because some people see it as a difference in what I see it. But we got to bring holiness living back as a priority. Now let me understand this. Let me preface this by saying there's a difference between holiness living and legalistic living. Okay? Don't tell me what I can't do. Tell me what I can do. There's a difference between religion and relationship. But I have a letter, believe it or not, from the General Executive Offices of the Church of God from November the 22nd, 1967. And it says, I am forwarding you to, Lord have mercy, to forwarding you a statement on modest dress that was adopted by the Executive Council at its recent session. You need to make your congregations aware of the positions taken by the Executive Council. Let us personally urge you to emphasize the necessity of holiness dress among our members. We are living in a day when there is a strong tendency to disregard the place of modest apparel in the life of holiness. We must never slack in our assertion that holiness in a person's heart will definitely reflect itself in holy behavior and habits. We must not allow our church to become slack in long-time standards, and we must not become weary in our tasks of instructions and admonitions. Unless we exercise great care regarding modest dress in this time, we could well see such a tide of unholy array in the church that there will soon be little that we could do about it. This is the time that we must maintain the standards of holiness in our lives and proclaim the standards of holiness in our pulpits. The Executive Council and the Executive Committee feel a great concern about this matter, and we look forward to communicating these things to our people in every place. May God help you and assist you in His glory. It says, cordially in Christ, Church of God, Charles W. Kahn, General Overseer. Folks, they saw it back then that the line was going to be shifting. Now, again, I'm not a clotheslining guy. I'm not a clothesline guy. But I'm telling you, when I have to turn my head in church, when I have to turn my head to keep from seeing things that are appropriate in church, and then you're going to be in a position of leadership and you're going to teach my kids, I'm fighting a losing battle. I'm just going to be honest. I struggle with teaching these kids over here, Martha Altest. We struggle with teaching these kids to dress appropriately because their parents don't dress appropriately in front of them. And they come to church and they tell them it's okay. It ain't okay. It ain't okay. When did we become a church that just lets down our standard? When did we move the line so far off of our foundation? When did we do that? Now, I'm not one of these that tells you can't wear this and you can't wear that. Don't get me wrong. I'm not that guy. You work that out between you and God, and then the rest will be okay. But what I'm telling you is, I don't need to see parts that God didn't intend for me to see. And we have gone too far. We have moved the line too far. The problem is, we've got people, we want to win the world, and we want the world to come into our church, and we want them to be saved, and we want them to do everything that... But they can't tell the difference. They don't see a difference. One of the things about years ago in the church is when people come in the door, they saw a distinct difference and they felt something and they knew something was different and they wanted that. They wanted that. But now it's come to church. I'm going to be honest. Two songs, message, let's go home. That's what we want. We've gotten so comfortable with routine till we don't want to see God in His glory and see Him work. Folks, if we had just got in a routine, my daddy wouldn't have been Christian. I'm being honest. My daddy wouldn't have been saved. But we had to persevere through a 21-day revival. And I think that 21-day revival was just for my daddy. Just for my daddy. But as He who has called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. That is 1 Peter 15 and 16. Hebrews 12 and 14 says, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without no one will see the Lord. I didn't write that. He did. You can't blame me. Some people will never come to church, listen to a minister, or read their Bible. But they're reading your life. And they're watching your life. And they're watching how you live. I told the kids my story of Larry. I think I've shared this with you guys before. Young man, first married, trying my best to be a Christian, really stumbling and struggling. You know, I'm a teenager, 18, 19 years old. Really not grown up yet. I'm being honest. Didn't know how to be a married man. Didn't know how to be a husband. Just a dumb teenager. But I tried my best to do right, you know. And I worked with a guy. We became friends. His name was Larry. We became friends. Tim, I never told Larry about God. I never invited Larry to church. Not one time. The Bible never came up in any of our conversations. We talked about woodworking. We talked about fishing. We just was good friends. I came in to work one Monday morning, and I'm over there at my machine. I'm getting ready to start my normal day, and he comes beelining in the plant. I was working at Elizabeth Carbide out here on 64. Beelining in the plant, just as hard as he could run straight towards me with some, and I could tell that Larry had something on his mind, but I didn't know what it was. And he come beelining into the plant, and he said, Chris. I'm like, what, buddy, what? He said, I got something to tell you. And I said, what have you got to tell me? He said, I got saved last night. And I was like, oh, you know, it caught me off guard. You know, I was stunned for just a minute. He said, I got saved last night. And I'm like, oh, okay. And he said, it's because of you. And I went, okay. What do you mean it's because of me? He said, I watched how you live, and I watched how you carried yourself, and I watched your conduct, and I wanted what you had. And I'm thinking, oh my word. How many more people are watching you? How many more people are watching you on a daily basis? And they're watching to see how you're going to respond, and they're watching to see how you're going to act, and they're watching to see the God that's supposed to be in you. And he said, you're the reason I got saved. And I'm standing there just dumbfounded. I didn't know what to say. But okay, you know, I'm a young teenager. I didn't know. But they're never going to come to church, but they're going to watch you. And I'm getting ready to slow down. Come on, Jody. The Bible says in Corinthians, for we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Friend, when the pastor stands up here and preaches his heart out, and he's laying the foundation, and Scott comes up here and he teaches Sunday school, and he's laying the foundation and he's building, the rest of us have got to start building on that. Thomasville Church of God's what, 94, 95 years old, somewhere in that neighborhood. Somebody got off of a train in Thomasville, North Carolina, and said, I'm going to put a church here. So they started a foundation that has gone through three buildings, if I'm correct, maybe four buildings in its life. But somebody had to lay a foundation. Somebody had to build upon it. Now, I know you guys, some of the people that I remember here, I know Scott could tell me some of the other older folks that were here over the years, but some of the folks that I remember the best was Brother Jones. Man of integrity. Loved everybody. Sister Helen Jones. one of the greatest kid Sunday school teachers I've ever watched teach, would go and write on the write board, and her little hand would shake as she was writing, and she'd get up there and try to write her scriptures out for the kids in her Sunday school class, and her little hand was shaking, and her little writing was squiggly all over the board, and she had her scriptures wrote out. But she loved to take her kids to McDonald's and putt-putt on a Sunday afternoon. That was her thing. That's how she showed the kids that she loved them. But look at the foundation that was laid. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I have personal experience with that foundation. Because my kids were some of the ones that was reading that little scriggly writing that was on the board. And we'll talk about Sister Jones today. And we'll talk about the things that was put in their life from her. You cannot take that away from them. Folks, until we start making church a priority, until we start making prayer a priority, until we start making God's word a priority, until we start mentoring and making young people a priority in our church again, we've got to look around. I'm the young guy and I'm 50. Being honest, we've got to start making things a priority again. We've got to put God first. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. If we put him first and then get our priorities back in order, church, prayer, the word, and I'm going to go so far as and saying fasting and witnessing. Like I said before, they're not knocking the doors of churches down anymore. The Bible didn't say come to church on 10 o'clock on Sunday morning and hope that they come, and go home at 11:30, 12 o'clock and eat fried chicken, and show up at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night for service and go home at 8. And read that nowhere. It says to go out into the highways and into the hedges and compel, which means to beg and to plead them to come in. But we got to get our priorities right. We've got to have a church that's in line, that's on a solid foundation, following the leadership of the pastor, that's following the leadership of God, and everybody's in unity together. That's one of the greatest things in the world. See, and another thing too, we got to be careful of what we listen to and how we listen to. Because if you really listen to you look at things, and I shared this with the kids this morning, and I know this is a little off topic, but just hang on. When you read in Genesis, And they're in the garden, and the devil comes into the garden. I don't read anywhere where he tempted Eve to cheat on Adam. I told him this morning it'd be kind of hard for him to cheat on Adam because that's the only ones that was there. But I don't read anywhere where he told, I don't read anywhere where he taught her how to steal. He didn't tempt her to go steal. He didn't tempt her to go murder. He didn't do that. Nowhere in the scripture. But what he did tempt her to do was question the word of God. Because he said, did God really say that you would really die? And he got her to start doubting the word of God. And then she moved the line. Well, I don't think it really meant that. And she shifted the line over. And then pretty soon you see what happens. Well, that's what happens with churches. I don't know that we really need to be that. Let's shift the line over a little bit. Okay, let's move it a little bit forward. Maybe it's okay to social drink. You know, the Bible just said don't be drunk with wine when it's in excess. It didn't say don't drink. Let's just move the line over here a little bit. We've got people in the Church of God right now that are sipping saints. Being honest. And they're trying to push that it's okay. You know, oh, it's okay. We're not getting drunk. We're just, and they want to move that line. But the problem is when you move it a little bit over here, in four generations, it's moved a lot. We've got to get our priorities back in line. We've got a lot to do. We've got a lot of work ahead of us. I don't know about you guys, but I'm ready. I'm ready to do what the pastor said. I'm ready to mash the gas pedal. They're after our children. I was at West Ashboro Sunday night for service, and Brother Travis was preached a good message. One thing he did say is they had that alphabet parade. And one of the things they were screaming was, "We're coming for your children." They had banners that said, "Jesus loves you, and we're coming for your children. We're coming for your children." I don't want them coming after me. I got a grandbaby coming. I'm telling you. We've got to get to praying. We got to get to praying. And we've got to get to work. We can't sit here and idle. We can't sit here and idle anymore. We've got to get out on the street, Penny. We've got to go witness to these people. If you're, show up. They're going to do street ministry. Show up. We need you to show up. We can't sit here idle anymore. The world is, they've mashed the gas pedal. They're coming for my kids. They're not going to get my grandbaby. This old boy's just stubborn enough. They ain't going to get my grandbaby. I'm telling you now, flat-footed. This old boy's stubborn enough. I'll wear my carpet out. And it's okay. It's time. We got to push the gas pedal, guys. We've got to get our foundation put back right. We've got to stop letting the world erode our foundation. That's one of the worst things that can happen when a building will fall, is if the foundation gets eroded. And how the foundation gets eroded is we start letting things in that shouldn't be in. You know, it's okay to do this. Well, maybe they didn't mean that. Oh, all right, well, we can move the standard just a little bit this way. And the foundation gets eroded, and then the building falls. Am I right, Brother Hardy? Without a strong foundation, you can't have a relationship with Christ, because all you got's religion. And there's a difference between religion and relationship. If you get hurt, if somebody hurts your feelings at church and you get mad and leave because you got hurt feelings, you didn't have a relationship with Christ. You just had religion and you just had an experience with man. That's all it is. You can get mad at me, I don't care. I'm just telling you. You want to know where the truth about people that had relationship and religion? Look what COVID did to the churches. They shut them down. Look who didn't come back. There's your evidence. It's that simple. Just that simple. We've got a gas pedal to mash. I love you. Keep praying. Keep praying for our church. Praying for Wednesday night. You're never too old that God can't use. If you want something to pray for, I'll give you a list of all the kids that come to youth group. I'll print it out. I'll type their names out for you. You can take it home. If nothing else, you can call each one of those kids' name out in prayer. They need it. They need it. We're fighting battles with them every day. My phone goes off 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night. I need to talk to you. I roll over, pick up my phone, spend a couple hours texting, go back to sleep. But they need help, and they need us. And we've got to mash the gas pedal, Pastor.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Chris. Thank you. I go back to the scripture that we read this morning. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. And then he says, lay not up for yourselves treasures where moth and rust doth corrupt, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust corrupt, nor thief break through and steal. Amen. We may not see what heaven has as of yet, but we're believing when we get there that God will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Somebody says, well, I can't believe anything that I can't see. Well, my friend, you've not seen Monday morning, but you sure are believing that it'll show up. Amen. Heaven will be here before you know it. Amen. Let's occupy until he comes. Stand with me. Father, we love you tonight, and we thank you, Heavenly Father God, for the word of the Lord that challenged our hearts. God, to continue to be laborers in your field, Father. And Father, you said through Jesus that we were to even look upon the fields, even now they were ripe unto harvest. And Father, you said in your word that to pray for the laborers, that God would send laborers into the field. And Father, we think of it as a drudgery thing. But God, the field, Father, is the highways, the byways, the job, the family, the places we go, the things we do, the communication that we have, wherever we're at. It's not a bad thing. It's the opportunity, God, to tell somebody the greatest story that's ever been told of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Father, take us from this place. Lord, I pray that you'd let us go to someone this week, God. Put people in our pathway that, God, that we could tell about Jesus Christ. Lord, let us make Jesus Christ the priority of the church. That if Jesus said in your word, and Brother Steve mentioned it today, in John 12 and 32, I believe it is, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Let us lift up Jesus as the church. And Father, let us be not growing weary in well-doing, but in due time we shall reap if we faint not. And Father, be with us, encourage those, God, that need encouraging today. Be with us as we go and bring us back at the appointed time. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. Why don't you give the